The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. A happier happy hour, the Tuesday edition. Nothing but good times, clear skies, and parties ahead for this crew.
Good times, great memories. Crudy, thank you, buddy. Rich working the board, working the phones. Thank you, Rich. 844-967-2789. Everybody, welcome, but Chet.
Dom, we were talking about that very weird man the Republicans have embraced as their cult leader, Donald Trump.
Okay, thank you. I was going to say, as you were describing it, there were so many of them. I didn't know which one you were specifically referring to, but there's only one weird cult leader. So I should let you finish. My apologies.
Donald Trump. And remember the other day when he told the Christians, well, you know, vote this once, and you'll never have to vote again. You won't have to vote again in 4 years.
My Christians. Yes, I remember that. And he's, if I remember, he also said that he was not a Christian.
If I recall
the sound.
We played that sound yesterday. And Trump did indeed say to our belief, and hell, it was on the tape.
It's on tape, man.
And I'm not a Christian. He said it. Well, you know, the bigger denial is that you'd have to vote in 4 years. Apparently, that's struck a few as odd, Dom. So today, Trump is scrambling to explain what he meant, that voting won't be necessary in 4 years. So let's see how he works on cleaning up this mess, Dom. I think he spilt the holy water. Former President Donald Trump triggered outrage when he told supporters at an event in Florida last week, if elected, you won't have to do it anymore. 4 years, it will be fixed. It will be fine. You won't have to vote anymore. In 4 years, you won't have to vote again. Now, the comment raised alarms that Trump was hinting he would refuse to leave office or cancel elections. Crudy's take, and I told you this yesterday, Dom, I think the bastard's so selfish, he doesn't care what happens to the party or the nation. He just wants his get-out-of-jail-free card.
Right.
So anyways, the comments raised alarms, as mentioned. In an interview with the Foxy News' Laura Ingraham, and we played you a little bit of that before, Trump's reaction to Melania's reaction. She might like me or probably loves me.
Which is nice. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
Well, Trump did try to clarify his words a bit and walk back any possible implication of that. You won't have to vote in 4 years, he said, because the country will be fixed. Frankly, we won't even need your vote anymore. I thought everybody understood it, Trump added.
Yeah. Do we have the sun? We do have some sun of this, right? Yes, we do have it, Rich. Thank you, my man.
Well, don't take my bad Trump imitation for it. Let's hear it from the horse's ass.
I started off by saying, just so you understand, you never vote. Christians do not vote well. They vote in very small percentages. Why? I don't know. Maybe they're disappointed in things that are happening. But for a long time, I say, you don't vote. I'm saying, go out. You must vote. November 5th is going to be the most important election in the history of our country. Whether you vote early or not, we should have, by the way, one-day voting. We should have voter ID. We should have proof of citizenship. And we should have paper ballots, okay? That's what we should. Totally. But we don't have that. But I said to the Christians in the room, thousands of them, I said, typically Christians do not vote. Why it is, I don't know. You're rebellious. Something's going on. Don't worry about the future. Vote on, you have to vote on November 5th. After that, you don't have to worry about voting anymore. I don't care, because we're going to fix it. The country will be fixed, and we won't even need your vote anymore, because frankly, we will have such love. If you don't want to vote anymore, that's okay. And I think everybody understood it.
Are we sure it's love, or could it just be like Melania's feeling? She likes your prenup.
Or love, like her love, loves the prenup, which is nice. She likes or loves it. Wow.
Well, there's
don't vote. He said it a few times, but I'm curious about this, though. I mean, like, statistically speaking,
I think what? That was a statistical truism once upon a time. They didn't vote with the same propensity
as non-Christians.
If
what are you talking about?
I think you got to look back to like the Bush days. I don't think a lot of evangelical Christians, as many as the broader population, I think they voted at lower numbers.
Well, I'm sorry, but I didn't hear him quantify or clarify. In any
have you ever heard this man speak with nuance, dude?
I know, but he didn't say evangelical Christians. He's saying Christians. He's saying any believer in Christ does not go out and vote. I mean, that's what he says. I don't know. Typically, I don't know if you're rebellious. No, I don't know. I mean, the Christians are rebellious. I mean, I thought the Protestants rebelled against, the Catholics.
He doesn't even know that, dude.
As the atheist, in the group here, I don't feel like I'm the one that should be, delving into and discussing the finer points of fiction. But as a voting block, all these people say, all the Christians, or especially the evangelicals, will say, well, we're a Christian nation. Of course, we are not. But you're going to tell me that they don't vote?
Do you want to hear what Pew has to say? Let's not take Trump's word for it.
Okay.
Similar to past elections, I'm talking about this most recent election, religion played an important role in the 2020 U.S. presidential contest. Republican candidate Donald Trump continued to garner strong support from white evangelical Protestants, while black Protestants and the religiously unaffiliated backed the Democratic candidate and eventual winner, President Joe Biden. So you got to be a white Christian.
Oh, so you got to be the good Christian, not the horrible Christian, like those horrible Jews, right? I just want to be clear that we're talking about the same thing.
A little bit more from Pew here, Dom, but religious identity alone does not tell the whole story. Among white Americans, worship service attendance remained highly correlated with presidential vote choice, according to the Pew Research validated with 2020 analysis of the votes. As in previous years, voters who frequently go to religious services, defined as those who attend at least monthly, were more likely to vote for the Republican candidate in the most recent presidential election, while less frequent attenders were more likely to back the Democrat. So, overall, 59% of voters who frequently attend religious service cast their ballot for Trump, while the 40% chose Biden. Among those who attend a service a few times a year or less, think guys like Dom, and he's there kicking and screaming on Christmas.
No, I'm not. No, dude.
The pattern was reversed. The patterns vary by race. Frequent religious service attendees' preference for Trump was apparent amongst white voters, but largely absent amongst black voters. Among 7 in 10 white non-Hispanic Americans who attend religious services at least monthly, 71% voted for Trump, while roughly a quarter, 27%, voted for Biden. So
that completely
contradicts what he said, though.
Well, don't it contradict it? It absolutely, because you're talking about it's still a 100% voting population, right? You had 70% vote for, 30% vote against, or whatever your different ratios were. It still is 100%. Of those populations, of what he's talking about here, because they still voted. Now, is this bitch that they didn't vote for him? You know what I'm saying? Christians don't vote. That's what he's saying. He said Christians don't vote. Pew is saying, well, Christians certainly do vote, and here's how they break down. What I don't know, and what maybe Pew has the breakdown for us of the total population that are Christians, how many of them do not actually vote, regardless of whether or not they vote for Republicans, Independents, or Democrats. That would be the relevant statistic to whatever he's talking about. But I still have a hard time believing that of the folks that actually of the Christian population of that segment of the population, that less than 50% of them vote in presidential elections.
2016. This was Hillary versus Trump the first time, right? I went back to Pew, so we've got similar research analysis. The analysis in this report uses post-election surveys of the 2016 vote preferences among those who were identified as having voted using official voting records. Blah, 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 blah. Among those verified voters, the overall vote preference mirrors the election results very closely. Blah, blah, blah. Trump, Hillary. It reaffirms many of the key findings about how different groups voted and the composition of the electorate that emerged from post-election analysis based on these surveys. Overall, whites with a four-year college degree or more made up 30% of all validated voters. Amongst these voters, 55% voted for Clinton. So the educated voted for Clinton. The less educated, 38%, had voted for Trump. Among the much larger group of white voters who had not completed college, 44% of all voters, Trump won by more than 2-1. So that is, in some small part, his electorate, Dom. White, evangelical Christians, not college educated, those willing to have faith in a Cheeto Messiah. Seems quite strange to me. You know, have no God before the God. But they so often do. And they forgive all the sins. They forgave the Access Hollywood tape. They forgave so much. You know, hate the sinner. Hate the sin, not the sinner? I forget how that works.
I think it says, don't hate the player, hate the game. I think is how it goes.
But they're willing to forgive the indiscretions of this Cheeto Messiah.
Sure, but they're still voting.
Because he's the chosen vessel of God.
But even those that are voting against him are still voting. He says Christians don't vote.
Well, he wants all the Christians to vote because he does
only,
well with
only,
that
yeah,
electorate.
A good one. If you're a good Christian, you'll vote for him. Otherwise, if you're a bad Christian or a horrible Christian, you need to have your head examined or you're a fool like those Jewish people.
Well, only the crappy Jewish people like Bernie Sanders, according to the WABC host. And, of course, his fine guest, the former president who agreed with him. Oh, the fine guest? That was Trump. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates.
Weird.
It is a little weird. Your phone calls could be next. Don't be a weirdo. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open, going there shortly. 844-967-2789. My girl likes to party all the time, man. Eddie Murphy, man, the 80s were great.
A brief pop singing career between comedy albums and, you know, of course, appearing in Shrek. Many, many Shreks, but didn't start quite that early.
Yeah, well, also a new Beverly Hills Cop, which was mildly entertaining. Crudy, to my point, before we get back to the phones, 844-967-2789. Also from Pew, statistic. About two-thirds, 66% of voting eligible population turned out in the 2020 presidential election. 66%. According to Pew, that was the highest for any national election since 1900. Right? Also, from Gallup, 68% of Americans identify with a Christian religion. So if we had 66% turnout and 68% are Christian, you know, there's your math. I think the Christians do, in fact, vote.
So it said 68% of Christians voted?
68% of Americans, of all Americans, define themselves as Christian, right? That's one number. And then 66% of voting age folks participated in the 2020 election.
Causation, correlation, I'm not
Christians vote, man. It's the dumbest thing he says. His whole point is always the point. Is they're not voting for me. You're the bad Christian if you vote for Kamala or the other guy, right? You're the bad Jew. You're a fool if you vote for Democrats. If you vote for me, you're one of the good ones. I mean, it's consistent with Donald Trump. He's not being as crude about it with the Christians as he is with the Jewish folks.
I'm not a Christian.
He says he's not a Christian. So what is he? Isn't that the question? How about that? Okay, what you know, and he loves the Bible. Oh, what do you like about the Bible? Oh, I love all the verses. You know, I know it's very personal. I can't talk about it. Wait. So if you love the Bible, and he went in front of that church after they cleared out the protesters from the park, right? With Mad Dog walking next to him in his camos, right? Walked in front of the church, held a Bible upside down for a photo op as he stomped on people's constitutional rights for a photo op. Well, why are you holding the Christian book if you're not a Christian? Does anyone ask? I mean, is this
because he needs the Christian vote? Did he not just tell you that in the last segment? How desperately he needs all the Christians to find God and vote for him? Of course,
it's just weird, man.
You know, it's hard to be an evangelical Christian who doesn't support a guy like Donald Trump. You know, not for me. I find it quite easy. But I'm telling you, I'm a white dude for Harris.
So why? Why? What is it about an evangelical Christian in your opinion? Because I'm not one.
I've been to the churches. I used to attend a Baptist church here in Dane County, Dom. It was very hard to go with the other congregants and hear their views. And this was before Trump, when I actively attended church, and I'd go 3-4 times a month. And I'm telling you, Dom, it was difficult because I found the preacher preaching from the pulpit, preaching politics from the pulpit. And I took a big issue with that just for tax.
They can do that if they pay taxes. That'd be nice. Middle property taxes. That'd be nice. But
they don't, of course. They don't, of course. So just on a First Amendment, you know, fairness IRS level, it bothered me quite a bit that this man felt it was okay. And it wasn't Trump, but the guy he was quoting was Rick Santorum. It was a very pro-life message. And while I may personally feel whatever I feel, as the fact I'm never going to be impregnated and it's never going to be my choice to make for my body, my opinion on the topic really doesn't freaking matter and should not matter in how we govern our nation, to my opinion. But, you know, there is such a revulsion for the Democratic Party. And back then, all the way back then, Dom, it was Bill Clinton. He was such an immoral man. That's what the evangelical Christians told me. I went to a men's camp. I went to this retreat with all these other Bible thumping dudes. And I went there earnestly trying to, you know, learn something, to grow in my walk with Christ, as they used to say. Right, Dom? Okay. But I found myself commiserating with these Bible thumpers that just hated on Bill Clinton. You know, he was such an immoral man. And I said, yeah, those 8 years of peace and prosperity, they were so difficult to live through. You know, it just bothered me that what I perceive to be one of the best presidencies, I'm not talking about the morals, character of the man, but the presidency I thought was admirable. Balanced budgets, no wars, all that kind of stuff. I'm kind of down for a presidency like that. And they've all turned themselves to Trump and admitted, grab him by the... I tic-tac up. They just let me do it. When you're a big star, they all knew it before they got into bed with the man. But all they cared about was the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And now that they've got this, that's his greatest fear. He did deliver for them. He's out there bragging about it, right? But now their hot-button issue, the fire them up, the evangelical Christian issue, other than hating the gays now, you got to hate the gays and the trans now.
There's always something to fire them up about, man. That was never a stop. And ultimately, man, it's more, I would say they use the religion, and just my opinion based on what you're telling me here. If you're going to be able to, you know, stand and say, oh my God, you know, Bill Clinton's such an immoral man, but Donald Trump's my guy. Well, it's not about the morality. It's about the politics, man.
Of course it is. Fact, I would hear.
So then don't wrap yourself up in the religion. Don't get all soft and butthurt when I criticize you for it, because they're hypocrites. You cannot believe those things and say one thing about Bill and then just accept it with the Cheeto Messiah. It's weird, man.
Well, of course it is. That's why I don't actively go to church anymore, because it bothered me that the other a guy said to me in church, after church perhaps. I don't think he said it while the preaching was going on per se. Oh, we should bomb Iraq or bomb whatever back to the Stone Ages.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
And I'm thinking, who would Jesus bomb back to the Stone Ages? Because, you know, that was sort of a central tenet of why I felt like I was a Christian. Because of Jesus. What about the... There is no Jesus in most of these white evangelicals' Christianity. Not the Christianity they espouse, not the following of Donald Trump. I mean, they're down for the migrants. Real Christians, not these Christians. Come back with us. White nationalist Christianity. It's a whole different thing. 844-967-2789. We see you out there. Hang on the party line. We'll come back for you, callers. Or if the boss is watching, just use the text line. I monitor, because I'm a good Christian. Dom, the pagan he is, he just lets you burn in hell on that line. Purgatory!
I've got so many names.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through a Tuesday happy hour. The Christians, the pagans, the agnostics, the atheists, you're all welcome here. We're all partying down on a Tuesday afternoon, Dom. All we need
is the Jews. Don't forget the Jews, because Donald Trump, he doesn't like those horrible Jews.
The ones like Bernie Sanders. I mean, one of the most walking the walk, talking the talk human beings in the world, Bernie Sanders. I mean, he's not the Mahatma, but he's damn close. He's out there living it. And yet he's being held up as a prime example of what a crappy Jew, Dom.
Terrible Jew. Horrible Jew.
Because he doesn't support Benjamin Netanyahu and all of his genocide policies.
I mean, apparently. I mean, that's... Who was the guy? His name was Sid? It wouldn't be clear about who he was on the show with, right? Sid and Friends in with WABC in the mornings. Sid and Friends.
I believe it's Sid Rosenberg, which seemed a little odd to me. I'm just saying. The anti-Semitism flowing quite readily from him.
But he's a good Rosenberg, right? Instead of the bad Rosenberg. So totally different.
So he gets to be the determinant of the good and the bad Jews?
Well, no, that's Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on. 844. 967-2789. Seth calling in from the Buckeye State, J.D. Vance territory. Welcome, Seth.
Hey, Seth.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I just want to say I'm a white dude for Kamala 2024.
I don't think he's sincerely.
I don't buy it, Seth. I mean, state-enforced homosexuality, is that something? Because, I mean, if there's anything, it's state-enforced heterosexuality, right? If you don't have the same opportunities, the same equal rights, the ability to love who you want to love, Seth, then it seems like it's, you know, state-mandated heterosexuality, which, of course, is fascist. But thanks for trying, dude. Well, we must really be hitting a nerve with these folks today, Crudy. 844-967 2789.
God told them to crank call a super cool talk radio show.
And we got your number, Seth. We'll add you to the list. Carol from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi. I was just reflecting on Trump's statement, how horribly the Obama administration treated the Jews.
Yeah.
I guess he forgot about that refugee ship that the Roosevelt administration turned back to Europe and wouldn't give the Jews asylum, and most of them died in the Holocaust. I'm sure he's heard that story, because I'm willing to bet good old Fred highly approved of that. Of course, Fred is the only person I can think of who Woody Guthrie wrote a diss track about.
Normally, you got to be Drake to get a diss track written about you, don't you?
Yeah. Did she just suddenly move down to Illinois? That call kind of concerned me.
That chat immediately reminded me of the brother from Weird Science that got turned into a big boil.
I just have one more comment. I went to the debate watch party.
Yes, ma'am.
It was great putting a face with the voice, but you and Dom did not look like what I thought you would look like.
What pictured, dare we ask what you thought we should look like?
Sure. I pictured Dom as an Anglo Cheech Marin.
I'm saying you're on the money with that one, Carol.
Hey, the license plate on the back, man.
And I kind of pictured you as this big, burly lumberjack looking dude.
And in reality?
In reality, you're a businessman. You're in a suit and tie, and I was a little took back, but that's originally what I thought you guys looked like.
You know, Carol, to be honest with you, I do own two flannels. If I'd have dressed differently and brought some brawny paper towel, would you have a differing opinion?
Yeah, right. I mean, if I'd have worn a different clothes then, Carol, would you have thought I was something different?
No, I guess you guys have to clean up for the public.
Dom only did so under threat. He wore his mugshot shirt, Carol. I don't know if you could see it from your vantage point, but Dom wore all the historical mugshots, and he actually wore that to the RNC, and you could see some people were looking for Trump on there.
Oh, that's beautiful. So I was kind of in the ballpark with what I visualized you guys looking like.
Super sexy, yes. Right, Carol? Super sexy.
Right. Totally. Yeah. And I would totally buy paper towels from you.
How about pillows? Would you buy pillows from Crudy?
I think we've moved on from Carol and those aren't pillows. 844.
Those aren't pillows. Thank you for the call, Carol.
Appreciate it, Carol. Thanks for coming to the party too. Well, see when the next debate hits the calendar, Dom, and see if we can throw another party.
See, always keep them guessing, though. You know, if someone has like a thought in their mind about what you look like, you know, always keep them guessing.
I think it's the fact I wore a suit. I think I threw a lot of people off that night. I looked like a banker. No badger hat. That's what threw them off, Dom.
Yeah, man. The no badger hat thing is
weird. I'm wearing it now. I have several. This one's cleanest.
You're Crudy. When I see you with the red badger hat, I know Crudy's here. When I see you with a red tie and a suit on and no hat, I don't know what you did with my buddy Crudy. Where's Crudy?
He's out praying in the parking lot. Or something. He's out there. I see some incense burning.
Yeah, that's what it is.
844. It's frankincense and myrrh, I tell you. 844-967-2789. Curtis from West Allis. Welcome, Curtis. What do you got for us?
Hey, Curtis.
I haven't talked to you guys for... Hey, how you doing, Don? Hi, Curtis.
Yeah, man.
Hey,
good. Hey.
Long time, man. I miss you. I've
been don't busy, miss busy us. Listen every day.
Well, I listen to you every day. I just don't call because I'm so busy taking care of my aunt and my cousin. So,
how's the dog doing? That, man. You still got the dog?
Very good. Ralph's going to be a big joint this October when I start going to UW-Milwaukee, UW-Madison with my costume, you know, my pot costume. So,
yeah.
You know, because
he's going to be a joint.
I want Carol to tell Carol I look like a stoner, like you guys look like the stoners, see? You know, that's just joking.
Maybe if I was anyway, wearing a green marijuana tie, it'd look like you, Curtis.
Exactly, I know, that's what I'm saying. People don't know what my pod costume looks like. But
if you look like the cover of The Chronic, people might know.
And maybe you never know. I'm going to have a big giant hair sign behind my head this year, so you never know. I'm going to add to my costume, so it's going to look pretty cool this year. But going back to your things, I want to say the crew, I grew up in a Catholic household, so it's hate the sin, not the sinner.
Hate the sin.
Because I'm a gay male. I'm a gay male, and I grew up, and actually, And my husband actually agrees with Dom. He calls all the churches right now a lot of hypocritical, too much hypocritical going on, so he refuses to go anymore. But, yeah, he says his thing is the church is run by too many rich people nowadays. They don't look at the poor anymore or what the issues are. They always go to the, you know, the politics part of it. And that's what's going to bring down the churches, if you ask me, because they have to come back to the people. You know what I mean? You can't stay up with the people, rich people all the time. You got to come down to the problems around the neighborhood.
I don't know, man. It's almost like it's always been that way, Curtis, man. You know,
Curtis, what always bothered me was the fallen congregant story. It was always some dude cheating on his wife, and you know, and I'm always like, you people have more drama than dynasty here in this church.
I agree. I don't know. And now that none of that is, they always like when they do bad things. Like just recently, one of those big mega churches down south got caught. He was having an affair with a 12-year-old girl. I don't know if you guys heard that about 3 weeks ago.
The youth pastor was, several girls, impregnated a few of them.
There's so many stories, Curtis, but I believe this was something that happened apparently. It happened in the past, so it came up again.
He's a born-again BSer, yeah. This one is a born-again BSer, and he basically said, he's not the recruit. This is a different recruit. This one is, he said, when I was younger, you know, when he was 30 years old, he did that to a 12-year-old girl for many years, and now she's speaking out. And the elders of the church try to pay her off by $25,000, and she came on TV. She said, I don't want the money. I want to make sure younger girls don't get protected by these people that have this kind of power that take advantage of these girls. Kind of like Jeffrey Epstein. Remember that one? Yeah, but he was out of the churches. But, yeah, he had a lot of dirt on all of them. That's why they held all the information. But, anyway, I love your guys' show, and you guys keep on smiling, man. Have a great day, okay?
Right on, Curtis. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, he's got a big, fatty dog, doesn't he? Walking around Brady Street.
967-27-
Looks good enough to smoke.
89. Aw, cute doggy. Mark from the sack, you are next. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, they're missing the biggest Jew of all. Jesus was a Jew. Born a Jew, lived a Jew.
Yeah, but he was a crappy Jew. He wasn't one of those get-rich-quick Jews.
I like my Jews that don't get crucified.
And we're supposed to be kind to our fellow man simply because our fellow man, not because it's good in the eyes of God.
It's
simply because he is our fellow man. I mean, that's what Christ actually taught. I mean that, and if you don't share that with your fellow man, what was it in Matthew 25? You can be, you know, supposedly a big as God spouter as you want to, but if you're not taking care of your fellow man, welcoming the stranger, feeding the hungry, treating the prisoners decently, you know that. Your name is taken out of the book of life or whatever it says there in Matthew 25. But, I mean, it is just sad that, you know, these people are being deceived by, you know, a guy who is, I would say, is not a Christian. I think he's a disciple of the Lord of Lies, and that's Satan, and that's supposedly who they're against. But apparently they embrace a guy who is more like Satan than any other politician I've seen in my lifetime.
Mark, he literally tells the story on himself about being the snake, right?
He does. Right?
Sort of a biblical undertone there, right? He's the snake telling what, Eve to eat the forbidden fruit?
Well, I mean, when I think of good Christians, I think of Roger Stone. And here's what Roger Stone had to say today. We know in the book of Samuel 1, chapter 15 and 16, when there are two kings, Saul and I think Biden, David, who I think is Trump, Saul is an illegitimate king, Stone explained. He's not a real king, but he tries to kill David with a javelin that skims by his ear. It happens three times. Many Christian prophets have said that this assassination attempt on Trump is foreseen in the Bible. That's what the good Christian Roger Stone. Wasn't he doing orgies with his wife in newspapers back in the day? I mean, and he's got a tattoo of Nixon, right? Nixon
right about the Trump tramp stamp, I suspect. Huh? Let's sneak at least one more in here. James from Appleton. Welcome, James. What do you got for us?
Hey, James.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm on. I'm just wondering, are you all like when Colbert was talking to, what's her name, the famous one, on the Emmys that year when he's saying that they appeal to the Democrats, but, you know, because it's appealing and it's commercially valid, but they vote. You know, they vote Republican because they want to pay less taxes. I understand that, you know, the Democrats, they have a vision, and, you know, their vision is for, you know, world. It's like-
James, I'm having a little trouble with your vision. It's a
I
little
would say
blurry.
James,
I'm seeing double.
To your point. To your point. Yes, I think there's lots of Republicans or people that vote Republican. Maybe they're not Republicans, but they vote Republican because even if they're not in the 1% or the 0.1%, they don't want to pay taxes, because when they get to be a billionaire, they don't want to have to pay those kinds of taxes. Hopefully people can get, you know, read into things a little bit more and be a little less selfish about things, because number one, you're not going to be a billionaire. And number two, the billionaires and the corporations should be paying a little bit more.
Well, if you're not a billionaire, it's because you haven't lifted yourself up by your Gucci bootstraps, Tom.
Well, I mean, doesn't it also mean that I'm not chosen? I don't have the light of God upon me if I am not wealthy? Isn't that one of the things about these Christians these days?
No, that's the Calvinist. They believe in predetermination, I believe. You know, you're rich because you're one of God's favored. I'm broke because I hang out with you. Come back. Yeah. You know, that's why God doesn't favor me. 844-967-2789 will favor you if you call us. More devils.
Those aren't pillows.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now. Talk or text at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I've got a few texts on the text line. Same number, 844-967-2789. Eric from Lodi. I have to disagree with Mark. The evangelicals aren't being deceived by Trump. They know who he is. I bet they do. WAUK texter asked, is CJ a good Christian? I doubt it. I doubt it. But we did.
What does that mean, though? What does it mean to be a good Christian? I'm not one. Like Trump, I am not a Christian. So how would you define that?
A good Christian, one that actually follows the tenets of Christianity, you know, the Jesus part. That's how I define a good Christian.
Like no gays. That's bad, right? Right.
Well, Jesus never said that.
Oh, okay.
Jesus never spoke on abortion. I'm talking about Christianity, man. You ask me how I define good Christian. A guy who actually does what Jesus encouraged him to do, which is be a good freaking human being. Treat your fellow man with respect. Don't mass deport the immigrants. Somewhere along the line, the Republican platform lost me. I'm just saying. 844-967-2789. Oh, yeah. And CJ, who's been sitting there for 1 hour and 37 minutes, texted in a couple of minutes ago, I want to talk about the national debt. We'll see, CJ. We'll see. The rest of you, though, 844-967-2789. Beth from Valparaiso, Indiana. Welcome, Beth. What do you got for us?
Hi, Beth.
Hi. Well, first to CJ, I guess Trump wants to add another $8 trillion to our national debt with his tax cut. But anyway,
Well, just consider it your version of tithing, Beth, or tithing to the government.
Yes. You know, here's what Jesus said about being a Christian. He said, everything ever written about religion could be boiled down to two sentences. Love God with your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. So pretty simple. And
but where's the money in that, Beth?
And I don't like all my neighbors. A couple of them, I really.
Well, I just wanted. Are you guys still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I think I wanted to give everyone an encouraging word to end the day if possible, because I think we're going to win. The timing thing is so perfect here because the tables have been turned. And, you know, I was going to say Fox News and the right-wing ecosystem, they spend years and decades ruining people's lives like they did to Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, and also ruining the – but they turned people against friendly Joe Biden within 8 years or something people hate his family now for no reason at all. And they don't have that kind of time with Kamala Harris. This is a fresh face. And I believe it was Nikki Haley who said prophetically during her campaign, she said, I think the first campaign that ditches its 80-year-old candidate's going to win this election.
Yeah.
So it could be.
Yeah, great. Great observation, Beth. Thank you for the call.
I believe we will win. I believe that we will win, meaning Kamala Harris, because I'm a white dude for Kamala Harris. Just pointing that
white
out.
White dudes for Kamala. Gary from Sussex, are you a white dude for Kamala Harris? Welcome, Gary. What do you got for us?
Well, okay. It's going to be a little bit more fair now that Biden's gone and everything. But the question I have is, you know, he said he quit because of democracy. He wants to keep democracy going in this country. But the fact of the matter is, I believe, and this is my opinion, I'm not saying it's fact that I wasn't in the same room with Barack Obama and all these other people, but do you think that Biden quit because he really wanted to quit, or do you think that they just threatened with the 25th Amendment, telling him that if you don't,
I don't
quit,
think they threatened him.
You're out.
I think Joe Biden, as the president of the United States and the leader of the Democratic Party, was, you know, probably pressured Gary with polling. You know, they just said, hey, I don't think you can beat Donald Trump. If you think it's so important, and he keeps espousing the fact, democracy, kind of an important thing to Joe Biden, kind of an important thing to dominate Gary, less so to your guy Trump. But if it's that important, then step out of the way and let a winning candidate step into the breach. And that is what he did in a very unselfish fashion, Gary. Would Trump ever do anything unselfishly, Gary? I mean, seriously.
No, he's a narcissist. Okay. And we now,
as a Christian, how do you find yourself voting and supporting a man that you describe as a narcissist? I mean, would you let your Mrs. Gary hang out with Trump for like 3 hours? You not in the room, just he and Mrs. Trump. Would you want her to spend company with Donald Trump?
No, I wouldn't want to spend company with him myself. Okay?
But you would allow him to lead your nation.
Listen, we have two choices. We got Kamala Harris, which I believe is, I mean, I don't know how she was so unpopular. Now, within 24 hours,
people got to know her, Gary. They like her now.
No, they did. They hated her before. They're gonna,
nobody hated Kamala. Just you and your buddies.
In her. No, no. And the thing is, I look at, just because I go to a different doctor that's not a Christian, it's a Jewish guy, and the fact is, I would go to a Muslim guy. I go to people's homes to fix their furnaces, whether they're gay or they're Muslim. It doesn't matter to me.
Gary, that's just because you're a capitalist and their money is green.
You're right.
CJ, I would so love to talk national debt, but Gary, so long-winded, he didn't leave anything for you. So if you dial us early tomorrow and you're very, very patient, we may or may not get to you.
Maybe. Just maybe. We'll see. We'll see.
Now go out there and be good Christians. And if you're a white dude or any sort of dude, woman, or anything in between, go support Kamala Harris. And Rich, next time, lightly screening. That's just the thing we say. You can screen them.
Thank you, Rich.